everybody who's all here? Do we have people here? Can anyone hear me?
This is Lisa.
Lisa, hi, how are you? So we do have somebody
here.
Wonderful. Cool. I guess we'll wait for people to come in.
How are you this evening?
Good. I just wrapped up my work for tonight, and so here I am. Late night.
Who's speaking tonight?
We have, I think Sophia's going to do something on are you speaking life or death? I'm going to say a few things about that. We have someone who's going to share a praise report, and we may have somebody else, but I don't know yet. I have not received confirmation, so it might be a surprise if we get somebody else. So we'll see. I'm going to go make a last minute post. I'll be right back.
All right.
Lisa, you're here, right?
This is Lisa, not the host, Lisa.
Oh,
the other
a different Lisa.
Lisa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi. Now I know who I'm talking to. Okay.
Yeah.
There we go. I'm glad you joined, and I'm glad you're here. You sound great.
Me too.
Welcome.
Hi.
We're hanging out just a few more minutes so more people can join us.
Okay. Hello? Yep. Chris?
Yes.
Okay, it's Sophia.
Hey, Sophia, there you are.
How are you guys?
Good. I'm Cecilia.
Oh, Cecilia, nice to meet you.
Hi, this is Cecilia.
Hello? Nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you
Welcome.
Too. Is this Kimberly?
Yes, this is Kimberly. Nope. Nice meeting you guys. My first time.
Okay. Hey, Kimberly, you made it.
Welcome.
I sent you an email.
Thank you.
Kimberly, this is Chris. I sent you an email. I don't know if you got it or not, but since I saw your post that you were going to join our conference call, I was hoping you'd take a few minutes to share sometime later on. Would you be open to that?
Sure.
Okay. Cool. And we've got two. Amy, are you here yet?
Yep, I'm here.
You're here. Okay, so we got, all right, so Sophia's here, Amy, Lisa, Kimberly. Okay, pretty cool. We've got the full lineup of who I was hoping would be here. So we are all set. Let's
and,
wait
and
two
Cecilia.
More minutes. And
yes,
Cecilia,
and
yes,
Cecilia.
Thank you. Thank you. Sorry.
That's okay.
We'll
yes,
give,
I think
I'll
we just
give,
want to give a few more minutes. A few more minutes.
Yeah,
for
maybe
more
a couple more minutes.
Hi, this is Gigi.
Hi, Gigi.
Hi, Gigi.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
I haven't announced myself, but here's Lee.
Hi,
Welcome, Lee.
Hey, Lee.
Hey.
Silvana's here too.
Hi, Silvana.
Silvana, glad you could make it.
Mhm.
Hi, Silvana. I read your post many times.
Okay. Sophia, what do you say we get started?
Sounds good.
We'll have people straggling in, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Usually some people jump in a little bit later.
Yep. All right. I will, why don't I go ahead and open up with prayer, and then Sophia, I'll let you take it from there.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We want to thank you so much for another great day. In spite of all of our challenges, our trials, our praise reports and everything else in between, Father, we know that ultimately you are in charge of everything. And here we are, Father, the group of us. We've come, Father, to share about you. And as we do that, we're asking you to come join us. You said where two or more are gathered in your name, you're going to be there also. So, Father, we ask that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we're all spread out in different geographical areas, Father, time and space is nothing for you, so we know you're here with us on this conference call. Father, we ask for your anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak in us and through us, each one of us, because we all have things we either need to say or things we need to hear. And for those of us who have something that we need to hear from you, Father, we ask that through the Holy Spirit you would speak to our hearts and our souls, those things that we're seeking answers to. It could be answers for anything, Lord. So we ask, speak to us and through us. You know our hearts. You know our requests. And we thank you for joining us because you said if we ask anything and we believe we've received, then it will be done for us. So thank you for coming. Thank you for joining us. And we look forward to your blessing of our conference call tonight and our prayer meeting and sharing and really just boasting and bragging about you. So we thank you for joining us. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay, amen. So Lisa's usually the one that you know, takes charge of the call and explains a little bit about SOS. So I was asked to do it today. I'm not very good at public speaking or speaking on conference calls, but I feel obedient, you know, to follow through. So just kind of explaining a little bit about SOS, you know, God placed it on Lisa's heart a few weeks ago, you know, maybe about over a month ago after, you know, being on RMM and seeing so much hurt and confusion on the wall. God placed it in her heart to start this conference call so that, you know, us who are walking in this journey together can encourage each other through testimonies or just if we have questions or prayers that we can pray for each other. And the meaning of SOS is standing on Scripture. And, you know, we believe that we're standing on Scripture for the salvation, not just of our spouses, but, you know, our children and loved ones that we're praying for as well. So I think the topic that we wanted to do today, I know we spoke about it, Lisa, Chris, last Saturday was life or death. Like, what are you speaking, life or death? But I feel, Chris, the Holy Spirit wanted to turn it around and take it in another direction today. So I know we have two individuals today that want to share their testimonies of, you know, standing and what God's been doing in their life. So, Chris, I don't know who wants to go first. I know we have Amy and Kimberly on today who are willing to share with us, you know, what God's been doing in their lives to encourage us. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we pray that the Holy Spirit speaks to each one of us and you know, as an encouragement to continue moving forward in this journey. So Amy or Kimberly, who wants to go first?
It doesn't matter.
I don't know where to start.
Amy, how about you go first?
Okay. I'm not great at these conference calls either, but I'll do the best I can. I don't know how much you want me to go back. I mean, I've been standing for a while. I'll try to keep it brief. but, I mean, I'll just say I got in about 2013 is when my marriage started kind of taking the fall. My husband's brother passed away, and he was in the my husband's in the military, and he had some trauma from that, and he kind of started going downhill. He actually physically left our home in about 2015, and he went to actually live with the other woman and her children, and shortly after he left, I found out I was pregnant with our fifth child. So that was absolute devastating. I think I was, I don't even know how, it was by God's grace I made it through that pregnancy, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So a lot of healing. And he completely left us. He cut off my kids. He cut off us. Completely left. Hardly talked to me. Would go months without seeing the kids. It was awful. So he never divorced me. That was God's grace. I don't know how that didn't happen. I kind of just kept zipping it and just loving him whenever I had the opportunity to. Just, I really had to pour out my heart to the Lord and not turn any anger on him and work through forgiveness and stuff. And about a year and a half ago, my oldest son was diagnosed with diabetes. So that was another huge battle to get through. And then my husband, through it, started softening to me. Like, I would start getting, like, a text from him with a heart on it. And then eventually I actually got an I love you, an occasional I love you back from him. And so it's just a very gradual softening, like, since that past year and a half. And then, well, I think God has used my kids through this, our kids. About 7 or 8 months ago, the baby actually started, they were questioning seizures with him. I know I had this all on the wall when it happened, too. They were questioning seizures with him, and then they did a brain scan and found an abnormality that they were going to have to do extensive brain surgery on him for. So this is when he kind of started uttering the words of possibly coming home. And but actually within a few months, like, the baby, this is the grace of God. God completely turned his diagnosis around. He's no seizures, and the abnormality was misdiagnosed. So it, somehow God used that horrible time to soften my husband's heart, but the baby's fine. So,
God, praise God.
I know, it was a huge praise. I went through months of trauma with that. That was awful. But I know God works everything for good, and I know he used it to really wake my husband up. So just so even since then, that 7 or 8 months, he's been soft, like, just gradual, nothing major, just gradual softening. Like, we'll hear from him more, maybe see him a little bit more. And then he took a job about a month ago that's actually 2 hours from the other woman's house. And it's less than an hour from our home. So I knew that was a step for him to come home. And I've been able to start sharing my feelings with him. He's actually taken some accountability for things, and he actually, the other day, said that he knows it was a trap of the enemy, this other woman coming into his life. And so God's really working on his heart, like, majorly. Now, I haven't, about 2 weeks ago, this is kind of how what happened today came about. 2 weeks ago, he was traveling out of state for his job, and the other woman contacted me. And mind you, I don't have any contact with her. I maybe had a few brief texts with her 2.5 years ago, and that was it. Like, and as far as she knows, he has nothing to do with me or his kids. So she contacted me out of the blue and wanted to meet me. So he actually asked me not to respond, that they were fighting and he's going to be home, and to just please not respond to her because all his stuff in his car and everything is still there. You know, so I left it alone. I, you know, submitted to him, left it alone. And, you know, it's kind of just been up in the air, lots of praying, lots of fasting, because this is really hard. The waiting at any stage is hard, you know. Mm-hmm. And so today he said he'd be here Monday. And I told him I have to work on Monday. And he's like, well, you know, he's like, that's okay, but I'm still going to come by the house and I'm going to drop some of my stuff off home. I'm bringing some of my stuff home. Like, I didn't even know how to respond to that. Yeah. That's huge. So he's making a delivery of his stuff. So I think he's kind of, he left here little by little. I think he's kind of coming back little by little, you know. And I mean, I've been praying for years for him to bring stuff home. Like, that's been a huge prayer. So I just am beside. I don't know even what to think. Well, see, he did tell me he was having a hard time getting out of there, so I've been really praying specifically that God would give him a plan and a way out, you know, and I guess he's answering. So,
and
our 17th anniversary is in 2 weeks, so I could use prayers for that coming up, too. I'm really hoping we can celebrate it together.
Oh, definitely. So, that's amazing.
God
has
been so faithful. He will complete what he started. And I'm not going to lie, this has been the hardest thing I've ever done. But
Amen.
God is so faithful, and he has drawn me so close. He has been so real to me, even in the darkest, darkest hours. I mean, I've been a single mom of 5 kids all this time, and I never imagined I'd be here, and it's awful. But God's faithful. He is absolutely faithful, and he has carried me, you know, and he'll just be faithful to finish. He'll complete what he started, and I'm just, as many fears as I have about the future, I just trust God to complete what he started. So that's kind
Amen.
Of what's going on in a nutshell there.
Well, thank you so much for sharing, you know, your testimony. I know God is doing a mighty work in both of you, and your story is not done yet. It is still being written.
It is, for sure. There's a long way
anybody,
to go.
But as long as we have faith and trust in God, then we can't go wrong.
No.
Is there anybody that has on the call right now that has any questions for Amy?
No?
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Amy, and we will definitely be praying for you. I know Lisa, Chris, and I like to jot down, you know, when people ask for prayers and stuff. So
yes.
We will definitely keep you in our prayers. Kimberly, it is your turn to share.
Hi. While I was listening to Amy, I asked God to give me some thoughts because my journey is quite long. It's quite different from Amy, but how do I start? My husband and I met on our last years of medical school, and Savannah, you have been in my heart for quite a while with your poses. Actually, really hurts my. I understood. We were quite young. I wasn't quite ready for love at that time. I was a very ambitious young woman. I did not want to get married. I came from a very poor, humble family. We came from different backgrounds. I was raised as a conservative Christian. Actually, I'm a Catholic. My husband is a Buddhist, and we came from different areas of the country as well. He's Chinese, and I'm Vietnamese. We met at the library, and, you know, he's quiet and reserved, and that's the kind of type of guy I like. When we get a chance to know each other more, he started to talk about Jesus and Mary, and I was amazed. I was like, are you a Christian? He said, no, I'm a Buddhist, but I've always, you know, admired Jesus and all that. And I thought to myself, okay, maybe I can hang around him. You know, I was raised that you don't hang around anyone other than Christians. I was, but anyway, we became good friends. He proposed. I said, okay, why not? You know, I'm not ready at all for this marriage, period. Therefore, I wasn't really loving him like I'm supposed to. I really don't know what love is, to be honest with you. I was 23, and okay, we'll get married. We have different personalities. I'm sorry, my story may be a little bit long. I just want you guys to understand a little bit more and where my journey came in. I was young. I was 23. He's about 25. We just basically finished med school and he's in training. And so I like to go out a lot. And with the training, I didn't understand. I remember he bought me a book. It says The 7 Steps of a Successful Marriage. I forgot it was written by who, but I threw the book away. It must have hurt his feelings. I didn't understand. Then he bought me a CD I forgot the guy's name, but it was a seven step to a successful marriage. Again, with CDs, I threw the CDs away. And we went for the first counseling years ago. I didn't say much. We continued to stay married, just like Amy said. I was surprised that we weren't divorced. We were married at the end of 1999. This is the thing. He had planned to divorce me since 2003, but I did not know anything. Mm-hmm. Back in 2002, I caught, during that time, we don't really have a whole lot of, you know, private cell phone going on, but I caught that he was in a very frequent conversation with one of the nurses he worked with, and I confronted him, and I met her, and he said they were just friends. I trusted my husband 100%. He is a man with honor and integrity, okay? So, okay, I forgot all about that. Katrina came. We live in New Orleans. I had my first child. We came to Texas. It was really, really rough. I was barely 29. And my father was diagnosed with cancer at that time. There's a lot of things going on. My husband wasn't standing by me when my father passed away. That was the most painful experience of my life. I lost my father. And he treated me so mean. I didn't understand why. I was with a child. He's a year and a half. You know, I hide all my feelings. No one knows what's going on. But then, years goes by, I drift away from God. I don't know why. I started to go to church. My oldest one has his first baptism. I don't take him to church anymore. And the last 4 years, I just drift. And I make excuses why I don't go to church. And I watch my family falling apart. I didn't care. I really did not care. I told God, I don't know what's going on, but I don't want this marriage. I want out. I don't want a divorce, Father, but I want it better. I'm lonely. Years goes by. 2017 was probably the worst years of my life. I went to Cancun for my brother's wedding, and he stayed home. I came back. I knew something's not right. He, you know, as a physician, he's missing a lot of nights, but as a woman, we are very sensitive, you know? Mm-hmm. He wasn't working those days, those nights, and yet he's missing a lot at night. But when he came home, he cannot look at me. There is something going on. I just feel it. I asked him. He didn't say anything. One day he just said, the kids are out of school. Let's go to the park. I need to talk to you. It's very important. I knew at that point something major is going on that I'm not preparing. Well, he said he went out. He went out of the relationship. He said he'd been checking out since 2003. He has been trying to divorce me since 2003. And before my father passed away, my father asked him to promise him to stay with me. My father must have seen something. Needless to say, I beg him to stay just like any woman. I cry. Mm-hmm. I ask him what's going on. And, you know, of course at that point, he's going to throw everything at me. You are the wrong girl. I knew that I married the wrong girl from day one. We were miserable and all this. Yet, I don't understand. We have many, many days happy together. I said, is there anyone? He said, no, there's no one. Well, I've never, never dig into his stuff. But something is telling me that day when he went to work, I started looking at the email. I saw... I saw a confirmation of a hotel that he's booking to go with that woman. On the day, there was my anniversary, and it was also 2 days after Thanksgiving. Do you know how broken I was? I could not believe it. Why? I know my marriage is horrible, but this is a man I trust in my whole life. I could not believe he pulled that trick on me. I called him at work. I did not care. He said we were just friends and all that. Do you know what else I found out? I dig more. She's a lot older than him. She's at least 12 years older than I am. She's in drugs. She's not the right woman. He's lost. Okay, that's fine. I don't know how I survived, I'll be honest with you guys. If it wasn't God, I would have been dead. If it wasn't my kids, I would kill myself. Can you believe, and this is, I don't share this with anyone, not even my family, and you guys are the first. I found photos of him and her oral sex.
Oh, no.
With my own eyes, I don't see his faces, but I know my husband's body. I took the photo to my phone and I show it to him. He said it's online. How could a man lie with a straight face like that? That's only the devil. Mm-hmm. He continued to lie. Needless to say, I had enough. I cut all the ties, and I have to say I became extremely evil. At one point, I was very ashamed of myself because I actually looked at love.
Look at love.
You guys know what I'm talking about?
You guys know what I'm talking about?
I was so tempted to call these doctors and put some love potions on him so he can come home. But in my heart, I knew that I was wrong. I stood in front of Jesus and God, and I couldn't pull it. I pulled out, and I decided to tell God that if you're going to put a man next to me, he's the one. I don't want any other man. I don't know what love is, but I knew now. I told God, I am only married one time, and that is it. And if God wants me to stay lonely, and I'm barely in my 30s, then will be it. I will be lonely and take care of my two kids. He called me, and he encouraged me to date. He told me he doesn't want to be just with me. He wants to date with different women. I told him, fine, if that's what you want, go right ahead. I do not need no man to make me happy. I have my two little boys. I continue to pray. I started to dig information online, and that's how I came up with all mim. I didn't understand what STAN was. I didn't even know what STANs mean. I started to reading stories and testimonies, and I didn't know how to let go and let God. I'll be honest with you. How did you do that? I thought to myself, and I asked God, how do I let go, God? How? Just like Savannah, like you, Savannah, he's in my mind 24 hours, 7 days, nonstop. But I still go on, do things with my kids and do my own things. But one day, I was just so hurt that I told God that I can't do it anymore. I said, God, I just couldn't do it anymore because I took off 3 months of work. I was very fortunate that I don't have any financial situation. I could not focus with my patients. During that 3 months, I pour myself into God. I cry on the ground at night, midnight, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
I ask God for forgiveness, and I ask God, what is going on? I thought I'm a good wife, but God showed me that I'm not. Wow. I am only a good wife in terms of faithfully cooking, cleaning, but I wasn't there for him emotionally at all. I never loved him. God said, Kim, you never loved him. You know that. Why don't you just admit it to yourself and admit it to me? Stop lying.
Wow.
So I told God, you are correct. I never loved him. I didn't know what love is. Can you show me now? God showed me. Not only that he did show me, he showed me what is unconditional love. And you know I'm a woman with conditions. I don't love anyone unconditional, but I finally understood. So, you know, he came home all of a sudden. It's really strange. My span is extremely short. But I'll be honest with you, it's a miracle because none of my family think that we'll make it. Because my sister said, Kim, your marriage was over a decade ago. And it really is. It really was. We sleep in different beds, you know, that we haven't slept in the same room for like 10 years. We would go on days without talking, months, and I'm not joking. We take trips separate. I would go with my kids, he would go with my kids. It's almost like we're living two. It's almost like we're divorced, but we're not divorced. And just like Amy said, the way that he's coming back, although her stance is longer than mine, but it's exactly the same process, is extremely slow. But you can feel it. One day, off the blue, he called me at home at night at 8 o'clock asking me, what am I doing? That is the first steps. Then he's slowly texting me. And, you know, it's just amazing. It's just like 2 weeks before he came home, all of a sudden he just decided to come home. And I didn't even know he came home. I was really angry. I kicked him out of the house. Do you know that? And I believe that I shared this story. I did not want him then. 2 a.m., he stays at home for 2 days. He left at 9 o'clock. 2 a.m. in the morning, you guys, it was cold, foggy. I had no idea where he lives. I vividly know his address, apartment, but I've never physically been there. The Holy Spirit woke me up at 2 a.m. in the morning and pushing me and forcing me to go get him. And, you know, I don't even know where he lived. And my kids are sleeping. How could I leave my kids at 2 a.m. in the morning? You know, it's cold. But there is a feeling in me that keep telling me, you need to go now. You know what I did? I was on pajamas, put on my robe, closed my eyes, and tried to remember the name of his apartment. I don't know the address, but I remember the apartment. So I Googled, and it came up. So I told God, here I go. Please take care of my kids. Take me there safe and help me bring him home. I put on the GPS and drove away. I got there. I could not get in. The gate was locked. I was afraid. I called him. He told me to go home. I said, I am not going home without you because I'm here to stay. I'm taking you home. Well, he came down and we talked a little bit, and that was it. He came home. That night, that very night he came home. Now, like Chris said, this is actually not the end of the stand, but it's actually the beginning. And yet, I have to learn that the hard way. When he first came home, it was still back and forth. Not about that woman. The good thing is he's not in a relationship with her. It was just a few times, and he knew, you know. So that was okay with that. It was the anger. He would be back and forth. I mean, but I continued to pray, and I zipped my lips. I learned how to quiet. I don't talk back. I learned how to be humble. I learned how to say sorry even though I'm not wrong. And each time I told God, stay with me. And, you know, he started to change, and he was like, why aren't you fight back? You used to fight back with me all the time. You're good at it. It's like the devil is, it's challenging me. The more I walked away, the more he intimidated me and challenged me. I continue to walk away and zip my lips. Sometimes I do fight back, don't get me wrong. But it has been over a year now, and I have to say that October the 25th, and I knew exactly the date. That was the day when God completely restored us. Since then, since October 27th or 28, 2018 was last year, we have not fight. We have disagreement, but, you know, we came to terms. I'm actually at peace. It's an amazing journey, and don't get me wrong, I still remember the painful past just about every day, but I don't get as hurt as much. But in my heart, I knew God had to break us into pieces so he can rebuild us. There is no other way around, but that is the only way. And God had actually shown me what love is, and I'm very grateful. My family is very happy now. You know, I told him that I pray for a new husband, but actually a different one, and God answered my prayers. And I told him, that is you. You have changed as well. So I'm wanted to tell you guys that the reason I continue to stay on RMM and take some times out, and I'm not a scripture person. I'm beginning to read the Bibles, but I have good faith in God. And I just knew that if God put us together the first time, God will not take us away. We are meant to be, and I trust God. And so the key thing is I think that for those that doesn't really understand what it means to be let go, basically it's a lot simpler than we assume it's to be. Basically, if we just doesn't let go, we still pray and still love our spouses and everything. It's just that we trust God, and we knew we cannot do it alone. We cannot. Mm-hmm. At this point, I kept God with me every day. Besides, I have a list of prayers. I pray every morning and night. In between, I talk to God just about everything. Even when I'm angry, I would be honest with God and tell him, I'm angry right now. I'm sorry. I just cannot be kind right now. Please, you know. And it's amazing. Many times I feel Jesus is next to me. He understood. I don't have to be perfect all the time. I'm human, you know. But one thing I want to stress when you guys talk about speaks life or death, it is very true. I had experience and tried experience at least 10 times, and every single time is on par. When I think about love, when I don't say anything bad about my husband, even if it's not in front of him, even if it's just a thought in my heart, my husband is perfect. There's love. There's happiness, there's joy all over his face and my body and everything. But when I started to shift my love away from him and get angry or have a little negative thought, his attitude shift as well. I don't know why. I can't explain, but I understood now. I think the enemy take advantage of when we are vulnerable and enters into our heart. So, yes, it is very true that everything coming from our mouth actually came from our heart. Just the thought about our loved ones, right now as I'm speaking to you guys and he's at work, and I feel I loved him, I am at peace. But when I feel I am angry, then I'm not at peace. So it is extremely important that I want to share that with you guys. It's very true. At any times, love conquers everything, and I learned it the hard way. That is the only thing that we can defeat the enemy, nothing else. And that's about it. I just want to tell you guys that's my journey, and it has been wonderful. You know, I'm very grateful, and I would not trade anything in this world for my family.
Thank you so much, Kimberly, for sharing that. You know, amazing. Again, God is faithful. And while you were saying that the power, you know, of your words, you know, speak life or death, I thought of Proverbs 18:21, and I'll read it to you guys. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So if you're speaking death, what are you gonna harvest? What, you know, there's obviously something that you're holding on into your heart that, you know, you have to give it to God and let him take care of it. But if we're speaking life, I mean, you know, we reap what we sow. If we're just focusing on the negative and speaking negative things, then, you know. But thank you so much for sharing your story. Is there anybody that has any questions for Kimberly? Is there anybody that would like to share anything? Prayer, or if you have any questions, just for Kimberly, Amy, Lisa, Chris, or myself, or Mary, share something, you know, a testimony that you may have.
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
I dialed in late, but I heard when Kimberly said for like 10 years they were sleeping in separate bedrooms. I want to ask a personal question. Were you intimate at all during that time or no?
We do, but I'll be honest with you. I felt like it's a chore that I need to be done. I felt like it is my duty to perform, but we don't intimate as often. I'll be honest with you. Probably, if we're lucky, maybe 2 times a month. But it's more of to fulfill his needs, and for me, it's more doing my job. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that it's not right. We're way too young for that. We were like in our late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how and where I got there. I'll be honest with you. I think the devil's covered my eyes. My family, all my sisters, I have a very close-knit family, and so they knew. They all warned me and said, Kim, you cannot be sleeping in different beds. And I was like, I'm perfectly fine with it, you know. God, I don't know why. He can go anywhere he wants to. I did not care. I don't know why I'm like that. I think that the one thing that I really wanted to share with you guys, and I shouldn't, but then I wanted you guys to have strong faith and believed in God. The 10 years that we left apart, I have never very seldom ventured into his own room. And I said his own room, I meant own room, because he locked a lot of time. And I'm not a nosy person, so I don't dig into his business. But when he left, I actually went to that room because I wanted to clean up, and I found things.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know this man.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know who he was. He was so lost. So that 10 years he's in that dark room, the devil is with him. He's a different person now. I spray I spray holy water in my house every morning and every night. I walk around the house and I just spray the holy water and do the sign across every night, every morning now. And he doesn't go into that room anymore. But even if we have intimacy, it's not any difference at all, because intimacy with God's love is much, much different than intimacy as pleasure. I know that you guys know what I'm talking about. I did not experience mm-hmm. that until now. I didn't know the difference, because as I was mentioning, I wasn't with any, you know. Now when we intimate, I can feel God's love. I can feel the connections, the love before I know. I don't mind if you guys have any question, even if it's personal. I'll try to answer as honest as I can. But, yes, that was it.
Anybody else have any questions for either Kimberly, Amy, myself, Lisa, or Chris? And Kimberly, when you said that the intimacy with your spouse now, you know, with God's love is totally different, I don't know if you guys have read Bob's book, Finding the Way Home.
Yeah, I do.
He actually says the same thing that Kimberly just said, that, you know, once their marriage was restored and they were intimate, it was totally different than, you know, the intimacy before God restored them. So
It really was. It's a feeling that, and I'll be honest with you, each time that I intimate, even it sounds embarrassing, but even during the intimacy, I would have thanked God. I said, thank you, Father, for this unity. You know, sex is not supposed to be shame if we intimate in the love of God. It's something he gave it to us, but it's totally mm-hmm. different. I don't know how to explain the feeling. It sounds odd. But even during those moments, I feel God is with me. Isn't that strange? I don't know how to explain it. I'm half embarrassed and half happy. But each moment like that, I thank God. And I noticed that ever since he came home, every time we have a little bit of, it's not going to be roses and cupcakes all the time. We all knew that. It's part of life. But the devil will never stop. He attacks you a lot more than he used to. The more I pray, the more I resist him, the more he attacks me. And he used my husband's to get to me. But my husband doesn't bother me anymore. So, you know, ever since I I don't pay any mind to what he says or what he does. He just totally changed, and I just feel like, you know, I'm not a religious person, but I love God. I am a righteous person, I think, you know, as much as I can. And I, as I mentioned in most of the posts, every day I try to live as good as I can. But I just feel God's love, even with intimacy. And once when your marriage is restored, it is a different profound feeling. I just don't know how to describe. I have never felt love this way before. It is amazing. It's like divine love. It's like I'm willing. This is a little personal, but I'm going to share with you guys. Because when my husband is with that old woman, you know, we don't know whether she has herpes or not, but okay. I think that I read emails. Mm. And I'll be honest with you guys, I was angry because I'm worried that I'm going to contract it. I'm in a medical field, so I know the symptoms and all that. But I recently told God that if that was God's will, I will accept it. I told God, that's how much I love my husband. If I'm going to contract a disease, so be it. I will carry with me to the grave. Mm-hmm. I told God that you are testing my faith. I know you will heal me. I'm not going to worry. So, you know, I don't worry anymore. Each day I just kind of try to live quiet, and I try to give him as much love as I can and keep God next to me. And one day, when your marriage is restored, you will understand. Every single word I read in that book that Bob wrote is exactly like that. It's strange. It's a wonderful feeling. You feel God is always with you, and not only you and your spouse, but your kids. They are different as well.
Thank you so much, Kimberly. Anybody else have any more questions or even a prayer request?
I don't have a question, but I wanted to just say something real quick. Today I was reading the book that I've read a couple of times before, I Do Again, by Jeff and Cheryl Shrugs. And I took note today of her testimony when she was the prodigal and how difficult it was for her to release the other man from her life. So I encourage you all to, if you haven't already purchased that book, to purchase it. And if you already have it, to reread those chapters again. It's called I Do Again by Jeff and Cheryl Shrugs. She ended up standing for about 7 years. But during that time, the early part, for the first couple of years, she just had such a difficult time letting go of the other man, and she explains why that was so hard for her. So I just a little insight into the you know. Person in their life. Uh-oh. Anyhow, but go ahead. I just wanted to interject that.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I had a question. Did anyone see restoration coming, like, before you split up? Did you see signs that maybe it was coming?
Yes, you mean the breaking
like
up or
the
restoration?
And then maybe it was coming. Like, for instance, before I even knew that my spouse was going to leave, we would go to church and stuff, and there would be sermons like on restoration or this, God wants to save your marriage, or this marriage to work, things like that. So did you ever see any signs kind of that it was coming? And
I, you know, in my personal experience, like I said, I knew we had problems many years. Personally, I did not know why, how we can live with each other that long. My family said, you guys should have divorced years ago, but I don't know how. I have to say that I'm not seeing the divorce coming, but I've seen possibly breaking up, and I have asked God many times. I wasn't happy. I knew something's not right. I told God, I don't know what it is, but I cannot take this marriage, God. Please, please do something. But I wasn't prepared from what God is about to change, I wasn't prepared to see him being unfaithful to me. In all my life, the number one thing I said I will never forgive a man is infidelity. I hated that.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, God, I asked for a change, and God put me through that change. Not only he had put me through that change, he had me witness the most horrific pictures in my whole life. Do you know how hard it is for me?
Mm-hmm.
But God put me through that for a reason.
And I can kind of, well, through my experience, through my journey, yes, God, you know, at that time I knew of God, but I didn't have a personal relationship with him like I do now. But in 2015 or maybe 2014, I kept on having the same dream over and over and over again, and I felt like it was the Holy Spirit preparing me for what was to come. You know, God will give you warnings. And I kept on having the same dream, and I remember I would wake up bawling, crying in so much pain in the middle of the night, and my husband would wake up and he would tell me, "What's wrong?" And I would tell him, "I just had a dream that you left me for somebody else." And I remember telling him, "Please promise me you won't do that." And he told me, "I promise." But our divorce was finalized in December of 2018. But prior to that, God had, you know, given me a dream on September 9th, 2018, that my marriage would be restored. So, and he continued to speak to me in my dream. So, you know, I think everybody's journey.
Yeah.
Did you say 2015?
Well, now that you mentioned, I remember I had several dreams that he was having an affair as well, but I never believed the dream was. I actually had maybe 3 or 4 times dream of that. Yes, I did. I did woke up and I did hit him. and he said, "Why did you hit me for?" I said, "Why on earth you have an affair?" He said, "What are you talking about?" You know, that now that I put all the pieces together. Yes, there's one thing that I do want to share. And Savannah, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
This is specifically for you.
Okay.
I know your pain. I understood. But please, don't let anyone discourage you.
Mm-hmm.
I was attacked by my own family who loves me, that told me I am a doormat. Why do you allow him to do that for you, Kim? They urged me to file a divorce, go get a lawyer, counseling. I just ignore everyone. I don't say anything to them, but I knew in my heart from day one, even before my husband left, although everyone said we don't have any, we're not going to have any luck, but I knew my husband's not going to go long at all. I don't know why God, our stand was so short compared to you guys, but that's how much I knew. I always knew that he's going to come home. And the one thing amazing is this, that I want to share with you guys. He rented the apartment for the whole year, right? So he said, "I'm not coming home, period. I rent that thing for the whole year." My uncle was telling me, "I give him 3 months, Kim," and my sister's telling me the same thing. "I give him 3 months. He's going to come home in 3 months." And in my heart, I was telling myself, why is everybody telling me 3 months? For some reason, I gave myself 3 months as well. I told God, after 3 months, I'm out. You know, he came back exactly on that day was exactly 3 months, and it was Valentine's Day he came home. So basically, just like Amy said, I was raised as a Christian, but I never had a personal relationship with Jesus, although I try to live well and all that, but I've never aware that the Holy Spirit lived inside me until that day when he woke me up at 2 a.m. in the morning. Since then, I'm always aware the Holy Spirit is with me, and I am not a person who would like to say sorry to anyone at all, but since my husband came home, and I'm going to be honest with you guys, even up to this day, I am the person that always have to say sorry, even if I'm right all the time. There are many times, you know, before we would be mad for months, but now I cannot say upset at my husband more than a day. The next day the Holy Spirit would make me go say sorry to him. I don't know why, but how I feel. But I kept telling God, no, I'm not doing it today. I'm tired. Why do I have to be the first person all the time? I'm not wrong, you know. But then I'll go to bed and I'll lay down 5 minutes later, and I got up and I got angry and I went to say sorry to him. And after that, I feel fine. It happens every single time. God is trying to teach me what humility was, because I'm quite arrogant before that. I'm going to be honest with you guys. That is one challenge that is so challenging. It is hard to take the arrogance out of myself. But God's trying to teach me how to have humility by admitting I'm wrong all the time, and I'm not even wrong at all. And I even argue with God. But eventually I'll give in and I say, okay, fine, let me go say sorry to him, you know. I'll go say sorry to him and all that. And my husband just kind of looked at me and amazed, like, what is wrong with you? And so he literally told me, you had two personalities. Do you not know that? And I said, what personalities? He said, you are an angel and the other side is a, excuse the language. He said, I'm a jackass, okay? Mm-hmm. And I understood why he says that now, because the real me is arrogant. The nice one is the one God is trying to mold me into. Mm-hmm. You guys know what I'm talking about, or I sound crazy?
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like my sister's like, you're getting creepy, Kim. You know, it's like you're strange. And I said, no, I'm not crazy. I know what I'm talking about. Why you guys think I'm crazy? I'm not crazy. It was just because no one in my family believed that I could change. No one. Even my mom. There's no way Kim can change. She's so arrogant, this and that. But God can. And I still have a long way to go. I still have a long way to go. But I've seen the changes in me slowly. And, you know, it's a good feeling.
Okay, well.
Has anyone else heard a date? Can I ask that?
I'm sorry?
Like so many years or a date when they're going to be restored? Have they heard?
No.
Like I keep seeing 3 years, for instance.
I haven't.
A lot of you guys have been standing so long. I'll be honest with you. I really admire your guys' strength. I don't know how you do it. But then now I understood. When God gives us a duty to do, he gives us the strength.
The strength. Amen. Yes, he does. Well, thank you so much, Kimberly. Is there anybody, we kind of ran over a little bit about the 40 minutes, but that's okay. Is there anybody that has a prayer request that is currently kind of, you know, going through something that needs prayer, and we'd be happy to pray for you?
I have a prayer request.
Okay.
So I have been hit lately with a lot of opinions from people, to the point where it's just like broken me down. So I'll walk in faith, but then I'll speak to someone in church. They know my circumstance, and they'll tell me, well, you need to do this anyway. You know, you need to accept it. You know, your marriage is dead. You need to grieve it. Or you need to go and get your support for the kids and just move on and, you know, do the things that you need to do in life to get you going. And automatically when I hear this, I start to cry and then start to say to myself, oh, maybe he is really unhappy and I should just do the divorce because I don't want to hold on to him if he's unhappy. Like, I don't want to be selfish. Maybe I should just do that. And I'll just start to sway and believe what they say and just say, you know, I can't do this anymore. Maybe I should just go ahead and do that. So, I don't know, just looking at the circumstance and just saying, no, like, this is what I'm standing for. This is what I'm fighting for. This is the big picture. My my family united and staying in unity and not believing opinions, if that makes any sense.
Can I say something, or can I give you an advice?
Yes.
With me, the only person that know my problem is my own family, my siblings, and my mom. Actually, some of my sisters don't even know. My advice to you is to keep it as private as you can with just you and God, mm-hmm. because no one would understand unless they're walking the same journey with you. They will basically think that you're crazy, you are so desperate, you have some self-respect. Even my own family told me to have self-respect.
Yeah.
And they loved me. They think they're doing that because they loved me. But I refuse to believe that. So my advice to you is that I would not talk to, with you know, just between you and God, it's probably the best. God will guide you if you believe him and you trust him and you ask him to unite your family, he will.
Thank you.
Chris, I heard you chime in there. Did you want to say something?
You know, I might have mentioned this before. Early in my stand, within the first, you know, couple of weeks of my wife telling me that she filed for divorce, I went to my church. I called some people I knew from a previous church. They all told me the same thing. You're going to hear this from preachers, from Christian counselors, from you know, people within the church who, you know, have like divorce care and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Our old mega church back in California, they have a whole, you know, division for, you know, divorce care. And none of them talk about restoration. They all talk about, you know, draw closer to God and, you know, let God change you. But what's also kind of weaved into that message is God's going to heal you so you can move on. So it's so the world's message of accepting Satan's defeat is woven into the fabric of American church. I can't speak for outside America because I know that when you leave America, you're going to find a different type of Christian. You're going to find one that takes God at His word. People throughout the world crave and starve for reading God's word, and they live on that, you know, and they see more of God's power and God's movement throughout the world than in America. We can have a whole discussion on that. But back to the point here, I was told all of that. I was raised in a Christian home, and I know a great deal of Scripture, and the problem I had was, on one hand, I have people from church telling me this one thing, but everything that they're saying does not line up with Scripture, because I kept asking each and every single one of them, where's the victory that we read about in the New Testament? Jesus died on the cross, and, you know, here it is Easter, right? So it's perfect timing. Jesus died on the cross, and when he came back after 3 days, the Holy Spirit brought him back from hell after 3 days. And now Jesus, when he came back, he now holds the keys to life and death. And he's given us that victory. The entire New Testament is littered with Scripture saying that. And yet when we go to church every single Sunday, Wednesday nights, whatever, you will rarely hear the power of God to restore, to heal, to, you know, mend any kind of relationship, to bring the prodigals back. You will not hear this in the pulpit of American churches, and it just infuriates me. You know what I did after about 2 or 3 weeks of running around calling different people in different churches? I stopped. I then started going on the internet. I didn't know what standing meant, and I started looking up on the internet, you know, restored marriages or I one thing led to another, like many of you have, all of you have. I found one website, and then I found another one, and eventually I found one book from one of them, and then I read that, and then I found RMM a year later, a year into my stand. And then, you know, I only have one church counselor who totally believes with me. And he's the only one, aside from my family. But I had to shut everybody else out. It's one of the first things I read in one of the books is, you shut everybody out who does not line up with what God said. God is the final authority on marriage, and God has already spoken abundantly on what he views, what his views are on marriage, and that not only that, but on restoring, answering prayers, restoring, fixing, bringing the prodigal back. We have the prodigal story. I mean, that in itself should, you know, should settle the argument, but then there's got to give us more. So I think that there are many people. I think here's what we have on the prayer wall. We have people who are in different levels of standing and different levels of maturity and their faith with God and Jesus Christ. And that it doesn't matter where you are. You're in Christ. Mm-hmm, Jesus mm-hmm. is faithful to complete what he started in each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter where you are. But I think that what I've learned in doing the conference calls and being on the prayer wall is that everyone's got a different place, and I think that we just need to be sensitive to that. And I think the other thing is that for everyone who's new at standing and you're getting advice from outside the Bible, let me just put it simply, it doesn't matter who it is. If you're getting advice from outside the Bible and it doesn't line up with the Bible, what it says, trumps anything anybody else said. It trumps even what I say. If I make a mistake and say the wrong thing, I misquote the Bible, I misrepresent it in any way, the Bible trumps what I say, what Sophia says, what Lisa says, what Charlene mm-hmm. says. Everybody, the Bible is the final authority on marriage and what God said he will do for each and every one of us. God's already spoken. He said, Jesus says it several times, ask what you will. Ask, you don't have because you don't ask. And mm-hmm. ask and seek and knock repeatedly. You know, God says, Jesus Christ tells us, ask, ask, ask. So we already have the word. If we just stick in the word, stay in the word every single day, we're not going to fail. We are not going to fail because God can be right with us. If we abide in him, he will abide in us. And his words will abide in us. And everything that we speak will be done for us. Every single thing. We just have to get to that point of having that kind of relationship with him where, you know, I mean, we lay hands on people and they get healed. That still happens throughout the world today in today's mm-hmm. world. But we don't see it because we don't have that relationship. And you know what? This is a dig not on you but on me as well, because I can't lay a hand on someone and heal someone right now because my relationship isn't with God in that way yet. So God's going my faith as well. You will see the longer your stand goes on, you will see how you are changing. Kim mentioned that. Others have mentioned that. I'm at the point where I don't even read Charlene's daily devotionals anymore. You know what I do? I crack open my Bible and I go directly to the source. Mm-hmm. Like, Charlene, God bless you. I love you, but I need meat and potatoes now. And the Bible is meat and potatoes. You know, mm-hmm. like I need to sink my teeth into meat, you know, because I crave it. I need to know more what you have to say. If I get up in the morning, I'm addicted. If I get up in the morning now and I don't get a word from God, I can't, you know what? I can't start. It's like God and coffee, right? Like, God, yes. I've got my coffee. Now I need you. And without the two, I'm not going anywhere.
Hello.
You know, work can
Hello.
Stop. Everything else can stop.
You guys there?
Yeah, no more milk. Milk and honey.
No more milk.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. You guys are there.
We're still here.
This is Jared.
Yeah. Can you hear us?
This is Jared. Sometimes people take the stage too long. Sorry, I'm going to be a jerk and cut in. Because you can get on your the preacher soapbox, you know, and you're going 75 miles an hour and I can't pass you. Chris, to back up a little bit, if you'd be so kind, I'd like to ask you, if that's fine, if I do jump in, about divorce care, because I'm in Southern California, actually specifically in San Diego, and there's a lot of marriage resources in my big church as well, and there's divorce care. And I just didn't really want to go because I didn't want to give power to that. And the guy's like, oh, there are people who have gone through here in a separation, but the singles sit with the singles, and we're having an attorney come. And I was just thinking, I don't want to be a part of that, you know. Yeah. Can you give me a little bit of a short nugget on that?
Well, okay, so let me throw something else into the mix, too. This is not the first time I've had this happen with my wife. Back in 2009, when we were back in California, it was May, she wanted to file for a divorce. And I went over, we were living in Orange County, California, and I went over to Saddleback Church, and they had, a huge, you know, mega church, you know it.
Sure.
I went to divorce, you know, care, whatever it's called. I went there, and that's exactly what it was. It was, you know, draw closer to God, and everything short of, but God can restore your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
They never crossed that line to enter that territory of God can restore marriages. You need to wait. You need to be patient. Pray for your marriage. Pray for God to change you while you're waiting. But if you pray and have faith and obey God, those are the two ingredients, guys. With the hundreds of testimonies I've read, those are the two ingredients. You have faith in God that He can and will. And then be obedient to Him in whatever He directs you to do. Period. You do those two things, you're guaranteed to get your marriage back in order. Because God promised that. It's exactly what says. God says that from Genesis to Revelation. Faith and obedience. Period. So I don't know what else specifically I could tell you, Jared, about
care.
But back in 2009. Yeah, back in 2009, I had that. I was standing for my marriage for about, and my wife was an in-home prodigal back then, but there was no outside affair or anything. It was just she wanted to go. She comes from a divorced family. Her parents divorced at a younger age. So, you know, I think when somebody comes from a divorced background, they're already prone to it. People want to call the generational curse, you know. That's a different discussion. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. But so 5 months later, she never did file for divorce. 5 months later, we're back on track, and everything seems to be fine. Mm-hmm. A year later, it's almost as if nothing ever happened, except there were scars there wounds that really never healed. I prayed for my wounds to heal. I don't think she really did. And then, you know, fast forward here, 2016, we relocated 2010 from Orange County to Cincinnati. And then we were there for about 6 years. So 2010, 2016, we relocated again from Cincinnati to Cleveland. And then a year after we moved up here, then, you know, then she filed for divorce, and this time it went, you know, we went all the way through it. But the second time around, Jared, to answer your question, the second time around, I went back and I called everybody from back in California. I called people I knew, the churches here. I called them, I talked to them, and it did not take me, it took me just 2 weeks to figure out. Nobody knows, and everyone's giving me advice that's contrary to what the Bible says, because this is not what the Bible says. I knew enough about the New Testament, and I've read enough to know that God says we're victorious, the battle's already won, it's ours, we just have to stand in faith, and God will do it, and nothing's impossible with God. That was enough for me to hit the ground running, saying, okay, I'm gonna tune everybody else out somewhere, somehow. I need to find out God's truth. And when I got on the internet looking that stuff up, I started finding out restored marriages are restored here and there and here, left and right. I'm thinking, this is awesome. This is awesome. God actually does this, because this is, if God says he can do something, there has to be evidence of him being able to do that very thing throughout the whole, in our world, in our today's world. And that's what I did. So I will tell you, everything with me changed. Everything with me changed. Instead of being desperate and anxious and everything else, as I grew in the understanding that God wants to heal my marriage, will heal my marriage, and how he will do it, that I just need to be faithful and have faith and obey, and then just walk in that direction and draw closer to him, he'll do everything else. That's the path that we're all on. And those are the truth he's given me is the same truth for all of us. It's no different. There's one spirit, one word, and one truth. And there's only one, you know, God's word is the same for everybody. So what I'm telling you guys, it's the same thing. Okay, what else?
When you were talking to the guy, did you say Jesus went to hell?
When he got on the cross, yes. Go back and read.
Oh, okay. I was just curious. I didn't know if I heard that right.
Yeah, no, he went to hell. There's a whole story about it. He went to hell because he had to he was there for 3 days and then he came back. That's when he died on the cross for our sins. He literally in the spirit he went to hell. And you could go back and you can connect all the dots with Abraham's bosom and all the people who died prior to that, and they were being held in Abraham's bosom. There's a whole different, you know, understanding of what he did when he was there for the 3 days. That's in the Bible as well. But, yeah.
I had a question. Maybe, Chris,
sorry.
You can answer.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I still don't understand why some of us have to stand longer. There has to be a reason, but I've yet to understand why. Do you think it's because of our spouse, maybe?
Here's what I can tell you. First of all, only God knows the timing, and I'll tell you why. Imagine playing chess, but instead of on one board, you're playing on an infinite amount, number of chess boards at the same time, and they all are connected. That's God, because see, there are God wants to make changes in both the husband and the wife, number one. Sometimes the person who's standing can delay their restoration because they start taking detours. So, but let's assume that the person standing doesn't take detours. There could be other factors involved. There could be friends, family, other people who are watching, who are benefiting or encouraging from all of that. Go look at the story of Job. There was no reason for him to have gone through what he did other than that it benefited every single person who's reading a story about Job. And, of course, the three close friends and then other people who are probably not mentioned who observed Job going through all that he went through. So when we stand for our marriage, I think that what we also – there's a fundamental understanding here that we're not standing for just our husband or wife to come back to us.
Mm-hmm.
It is so far larger than that. It is our husband or wife coming back is the small part, but the repercussions of that, the testimony, God says that I will do this. I will do this thing so that all the nations of the world will see and will
people.
Come to fear me.
And I just thought, for some reason, Chris, when you're saying this, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Genesis 50:20 just popped into my head. You know, what the enemy meant for evil, God is turning it around for good to accomplish what is now being done. The saving of many, many lives, which not just your spouses, but yes, you are right, there are other people that are watching.
Yeah. There are people we don't even know that are watching and they're observing. But not only that, the husband's going to have a testimony. The wife is going to have a testimony. Their marriage is going to be a testimony. The children will have their own testimony. I have a testimony where from when I was a kid, when I was 1.5 years old, my parents went through an ordeal, and us kids were separated from our parents for 2 years. So our parents and my family went through something, and I have a testimony from my childhood. So as I reflect back on that, it reminds me that, why was the remember when Jesus healed the blind man who was born born blind. And then the people asked him, they said, well, why? Whose fault was it that he was born blind? You know, was it the parents who sinned? And Jesus answers, he says, God's plan is greater, far greater than that. It doesn't necessarily mean that the parents sinned, because he had a greater plan, because he wanted to heal this man who was born blind to show his power and his strength. So the answer to the question, you know, with the timing, but somebody else mentioned just a few minutes ago, somebody else mentioned if God's called you to stand, he will give you the power and the strength for the duration. Just rest in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I've also been told because they're too filled with guilt and shame, so then they probably want you to do the dirty work, so then they have no accountability, you know.
I can agree with that. Because I have that feeling too that not to bash my husband or anything like that, but I have that feeling that he's waiting on me to take the action, for me to just say, okay, you know, this is it. Because I think that, there's been things that he has said before that made me wonder, you know, like when he first walked out, when he first left a year and a half ago, he had said to me, I know I'm going to regret this forever. But he did it anyway.
Wow.
You know, and then he would sit, he had said to me also, like, you think I wanted this divorce? You think I want us to divorce?
Mm-hmm.
So these things I pick up on, and I think to myself, okay, maybe it's just easier to walk away than to actually communicate. Because then
that's
that means
true.
That he would admit the shame,
right.
The guilt, you know, all these things. And I think that's why he's kind of sat back and said, okay, I'm not going to take action right now. She can take action. You know what I mean? It's just, it's easier.
I think
like
you're
you said,
absolutely
the dirty
correct.
Work.
Mine has said the exact same thing you just said. You said, I'm going to regret this. And I know that. And even said, do it. He would push me. He would do things, and I could tell, and God showed me that so that I would do it.
Yeah.
So I know, I think you're absolutely correct. He would even say things to God. We have him say things like, this is bigger than us. And he never talked like that, you know?
No.
So then,
it is true
God.
Because my husband told me that he doesn't remember what he said.
Right.
He doesn't know why he said that. He doesn't know what he did. He said, I had no clue who I became. And he even told me, I cry every night when I woke up in the morning, and I did not understand why I belong in an apartment when I had a home.
Wow. Yeah.
That's what my husband told me.
Wow.
When actually during the time that he left, he blamed everything on me. Everything is wrong with me. He is miserable. And I could not see it. But if you guys read the book by Bob, that I believe that he talked about the prodigal perspective and try to understand them, they are also hurt. In fact, they are actually more hurt than we are. And then I believe that my husband had some childhood issues that he brought into our lives. I think that most of them had problems on their own and doesn't want to admit, and you are correct. My husband did mention it to me that it is easier to walk away than to deal with you. I cannot talk to you, he said. When I am the person that has no problem with communication with anyone, he is the one, but he refused to admit that. I cannot talk to him. Even though I'm kind, he would curse at me. I cannot talk to him more than 5 words with him without him get violent with me, and I would have to step down. But he refused to talk about it, and when he actually came home and shared with me later, this is when I understood more and see the point that Bob was trying to explain. This is exactly what my husband said. And he didn't tell me that he reached out to God, but he showed me some photos of his apartment, and I saw the cross. I saw it. So he actually reached out to God. So my husband mentioned that. But I remember every single word he said about me, yet when I repeated, he said he didn't say that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I told him
he was someone else.
Right.
That's why they went.
But I told him.
But
right. But I told him I remember it hurt so much, and he said, "There's no way I would say those words to you, Kim." And I said, "I wish that you didn't, because my husband is he is a man with integrity." I said, I told him I could not believe it. I mentioned that during those moments, I looked at you, and really, he does look like a devil. His face changes, his feature changes. He looks very angry.
The black eyes, do you get black eyes?
I mean, he screamed, yelled to the point where he can't even talk. It's like, it's not my husband. My oldest son, poor thing, he has grown up so much because he had witnessed. This is what my son told me. Your husband is dead. The person who's yelling at you and screaming at you is not your husband, Mom. It's not my father. He's gone.
Wow.
God is the only person that can revive him, and we must pray. My son is actually with me the whole journey because I'm a private person. I usually don't like to talk. I'm kind of ashamed myself, although I'm not the person who walked out, but I'm embarrassed, you know.
Yeah.
But what my husband told me that I want to share with you guys is that do not believe and get hurt by anything they said. They don't know what they're saying.
It's a spiritual battle. It is true, you know. It's a spiritual battle.
This is what my husband said. My husband said, I didn't know what I told you. All I knew is I want to make you mad. And he said, I don't recall that I said those things to you, but this is what really triggers me. And he said, Kim, do you think that I am happy right now? I am miserable.
Right.
I thought that when I leave you, I have the world, but I don't. This is what
and
he shared
thing,
with me.
And one thing that I want to share with you, when my husband signed the divorce papers on December 4th, now, I didn't make the divorce impossible for him. You know, there's friends of mine that they don't know I'm standing, but, you know, obviously I tell them that I'm praying for my husband and everything. But one thing that my husband told me when the divorce was finalized on December 4th, I asked him, I was like, how? I didn't go to the court date because his attorney never notified me. And I didn't hire an attorney because I told him from the beginning I didn't want a divorce. One thing, when the divorce was finalized, I asked him, I was like, how are you doing? And he's like, not good. He's like, I'm not doing good. And that's all he told me. So, you know, if somebody that really wanted a divorce, you figure they'd be happy and woo-hoo. But he said he's not doing good. So, you know.
This is another thing I want to share with you guys that is extremely important. I remember I talked to him on the phone, and I said, and this is exactly 1 month before he came home. And he just barely moved into the apartment 1 month. And this is what I said. You seem to be very happy. You have your life. You have, you have what you want now. You're now single. You can date with anyone you want to. You got the money. You got everything, you know. And you seem to be happy. And you know what he said? He said, yes, I am. I remember just like Obama said, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I mean, he is loud and very clear, but within those words, I can hear the hurt. He said, yes, I am. I'm so happy that I escaped from you. That is his word, okay? I would rather be alone or marry a dog than to marry you.
Wow.
But I stay silent. Instead of getting mad at him, I said, I'm happy for you. And I'll be honest with you, that wasn't me that said those words. That's God. Because, like I said, I am a very arrogant person. There's no way I can say those words to someone who hurts me like that and said that he would rather marry a dog than me. But I quietly said, and he said, I barely moved into the apartment in 1 month, but everything is under control. I am slowly to get my life back together. All kind of stuff that hurts me, right? I listened quietly, and I said, I'm very happy for you. I wish you lots of happiness and peace. I only ask you for one thing, is to give me the peace so I can raise our children. Now that you found your path, go live your path, your life. But I want you to remember one thing. Me and the kids will be here for you. You have a family when you want to come home.
Oh, that's only God saying that. I tell
I
you
said
the compassion.
I said, I have forgiven you. And you know I hate infidelity. I said, I have forgiven you. Go
go, and this is what I said, go right ahead and live your life. Go enjoy your life, the life that you always dream of. You've been trying to divorce me since 2003, remember? But I want you to remember, when you are tired, lost, no one to love, just know that I am here. And mm-hmm. I will open my doors for you. And I ended the conversation. He came home 2 weeks later.
Wow.
And I knew that wasn't me that said those kind words, because I am still angry. Remember I told you guys that he came home, I kicked him mm-hmm. out? There's no way someone speak like that. And then he came home and I kicked him out, and the Holy Spirit sent me to go get him. That is God speaking through my mouth, because
that is Jesus in us. It's like what Chris said, something, I don't know if it was on his post or maybe one of the other conference calls, is, you know, we have Jesus, the Holy Spirit, in us, and we are loving the unlovable. And that's one thing that, you know, and that's only, we can only do that because we have Jesus in our hearts,
right,
in us.
And the only thing that we can save, like Chris said, this is not even about our marriage, especially in my situation. My husband baptized. He converts to Christianity when we got married. I felt that I was called by God to bring him back, because I knew if we divorce, that is it. His soul is gone. My son even told me, you are the chosen one, Mom. Your job is to bring him back to God.
Amen.
So you must stand strong and, you know, resist the devil. I know I sound crazy, but many days I speak loudly to the devil, and I told him, stay away from my family, that I have my husband. And I actually pray. I said, Jesus, please pour your blood over Brandon, which is my husband, and Holy Spirit, please, you know, show the light, guide him, take him back to you.
Mm-hmm.
I told God, I am doing everything to save my family. And, I had shared this with you guys. I don't buy lotto tickets. I'm a person who is pretty content. But I was so depressed. So my uncle said, let's join and buy a lotto. So I joined in with my uncle. But I knew I'm never going to win, because I literally told God, if you're gonna give me a choice right now, God, and ask me, do I pick my husband or the winning lotto? I will tell you right now, Lord, I will pick him over at any time. And today I still will do that. And he came home. So my point is that I think that we always have to speak love. We try to. Sometimes it's really hard. Don't get me wrong, you know. But I've noticed that the more love I show, the better my husband will be. And the only way to show your spouse, you have to live where they see Jesus through you. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because if you're going to fight back, they would use you as a reason why. This is why I leave, because of you, such and such. They will make all kind of justification to make them feel like they're not guilty. The more kind you are to them, the more miserable they get. This is from my husband. He told me, each time you speak about God, it's like a knife cutting through my heart, he said.
Wow.
I hate it when you talk to me kindly and loving. I cannot stand that, he told me. I cannot sleep because of you. That's what he said, and I told him, what did I do? I said, I don't know what you do, but every time you see me, you're like this angel. I couldn't take it. That's what he said. So I think that because he's fighting with Satan. You see what I mean? He is in he was in a spiritual battle himself. But
yes, Mike actually said that about the angel. Mm-hmm. And he said, after we hadn't spoken a while, I had got back to myself because I was so angry before he left. And he just said, the first time we talked after a year, he said, you sound like when we first met. And I said, is that a bad thing? He said, no. And then he said, I got to go, and hung up. And said, I can't do it. So they really are going, it really is the enemy. We're in a really big spiritual battle.
And I learned something.
Does anyone notice 2015? Like, does anybody remember it being really especially hard, maybe? Or things starting in 2015 that... I've just heard a lot of people mention 2015, so I was curious if you noticed anything especially hard.
2016 is when I got served with papers.
Is when what?
2015 was when I got served with papers.
Okay, because I heard a lot of people starting to say the enemy was really attacking then, and that's when mine started, and really bad.
2015 is when my husband actually left, so.
Okay.
2015 is when my wife filed for divorce.
Really? Oh. Wow. Yeah. So there is something going on in the spiritual with the enemy, yeah. I think. And
I think, Chris, you and I kind of share similar 2016 and 2018, our divorce was finalized.
Well, you know, now that I think about it, back in September of 2015, I approached my wife on a Monday morning, and I said, "Hey," I said, "I've noticed." I had a conversation with her before she went to work, and I said, "I noticed you're different, and something's going on. You know, what's going on? You want to talk to me about it?" She and we didn't talk about it. We had a conversation. It was more than just that. By Saturday morning, that following Saturday morning, we then sat down, and then she basically told me she wanted to separate. And that was September of 2015. And I talked her off the ledge. So she decided not to. But then, you know, six months later, April 27th, of 2016, that's when she actually did file for divorce. So there was some lag time, but it again started, you know, September 2016. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, if the year means anything or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay.
I just
well,
that each
are.
One of your guys' marriage is, you know, restored pretty soon. It really hurts me when I read those, you know, those posts on RMM.
Which ones?
Just every single, you know, it's just like Savannah had mentioned several times, there's just so much pain on the wall that it just when I read, you know, the RMM messages and stuff like that, it just, you know, sometimes it brought me back to my painful journey and it makes me really hurt, you know, but there's several times that I wanted to get away from it, but for some reason I keep on coming back. I had no idea why, but I think I kind of understand a little bit now. Maybe God sent me to stay so your guy can see that he does restore marriages. It gives you guys some hope, you know.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think this has been an amazing conference call today. I feel like, you know, a lot of us, myself included, you know, hearing Amy and Kimberly has given me a lot of encouragement. And I don't know, also I'll mention, I think I posted this on the wall yesterday or the day before yesterday. If you haven't already listened to the podcast about JT, yeah. John Thomas and Mary Lisa, please, please, please listen to it. It'll really, really encourage you. So if you have some time, whether tonight, you know, maybe while you're laying in bed after you pray, or, you know, tomorrow when you have a chance. It's on the podcast on RMM. It's the Restored Marriage of John Thomas and Mary Lisa. It encouraged me a lot, and tonight's call also encouraged me a lot, as I pray and hope that it's encouraged many of you tonight as well. So if we don't have any more questions or, you know, prayer requests, and even if you guys have questions or prayer requests after the conference call tonight, you can either reach out to myself, Lisa, or Chris through the RMM. You can directly email us through there, and we'll definitely, you know, keep you guys in prayer and stuff. But Chris, I don't know if we've already gone an hour and a half almost. I don't know if, you know, you want to close it out with prayer.
Let's definitely close that out with prayer. And let me throw in one more thing real quick. I saw the movie last night, Breakthrough. I don't know if you guys know about
it. I want to go
theaters.
See it.
Mm-hmm. You have to go see it. You have to go see it. You have to go see it. It's based on a true story. They show the pictures of the real people after that.
Faith and prayer.
You know, I don't cry at the movies, but that had me in tears.
Is it out right now?
Yeah,
it just came out. Yeah, it's called Breakthrough.
Okay.
Gotta go see it. Gotta go see it. And, you know, again, evidence, one woman's faith, and she prayers. Was against and prayers, yes. When everybody around her was getting ready, saying, "You know what? You're in denial. Just accept it and move on." Just like we were being told at one point or another about our marriages. Just either the quicker you accept it and move on, the better it'll, the easier it'll be for you. And that's so wrong. That's so wrong. But go see the movie. You know, God can do that. God can change one person's heart so easily. Mm-hmm. Go see the movie. You will be blessed by that. Okay, so I'll close out in prayer. Anyone else? Jared, you want to say anything else? Closing remarks? No? Okay. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We want to thank you so much for such an incredible time. We've gone double the time of what we usually do in a conference call. But, Father, we invited you to come and join us and to move, and you did. You certainly did. You were here. You moved through the many different people who spoke tonight, and we thank you for not only speaking through us, Father, but also through the actions that you take, the things that you do, your power, your strength, what you've done with Amy's husband, what you've done with Kimberly's husband. Father, we are blessed because you love us so much. You give all of us breadcrumbs here and there. And if we look, we'll be able to discern those breadcrumbs, and we could see evidence of you moving in our spouses' hearts and in their lives. And Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you that you're not a respecter of people, and you love each and every one of us equally but fully. And we want to thank you with all of our hearts, Father, that you love us so much. You've given us so many promises. And not only that, but you stand with us. We never have to be alone. We never have to be alone or lonely. We never have to be ashamed or feel guilt in any way. And any time that we feel that coming on, we know it's not you. We know it's not you because you don't give us any. There's no fear in your perfect love. And there's no condemnation from you. There's only love and forgiveness. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your patience with us because we know that you're doing a work in each one of us, in our hearts and our lives, transforming our hearts because we know you're doing work in our hearts and our spouses' hearts. And we know, Father, that if we stand with you, Father, like Nehemiah, going and standing in the gap and rebuilding the wall. If we stand with you both in faith and in obedience, you are faithful to do exactly what you said you're going to do. And that's a guarantee. That's an absolute guarantee. So, Father, we thank you because you didn't have to give us those guarantees, but you did because you love us so much. So we thank you. Father, I pray that each and every single heart that joined us for this conference call, that you strengthen each and every heart, that you build us up, continue building us up in faith, from faith to faith and glory to glory, so we might continue one day at a time standing and standing and standing firm in those things that you have already guaranteed to give us. Father, I pray that you bless everyone's evening tonight and the following week, and until we come back together again next week for another conference call, if it's your will. So, Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love, and thank you for all the work you've done. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for being inside of us and being everything that we need you to be, and more, and more, much, much more. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Have a good night, everybody. God bless you all.
God bless you, guys.
God bless you. God bless you.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.